Well, welcome. It's great to have you here. For those of you that don't know, my name is Al Stone. My wife, Ruthie, is here. Ruthie, would you stand for just a moment, please? We will, this year, have been married 40 years. Woohoo! Yeah. Ruthie said she's been happily married for 35. So the last five haven't been so good. So we want to introduce to you as well some very special folks that are here. 35 years ago, we went to a city in Canada, St. Thomas, Ontario. Population about 20,000 people at the time. And we started off, and like most, it was a tough start. We had 13 people in a little tiny church that had a $100,000 mortgage. I had 1 year support. After that, I had to get a job and go at it. And I thought, if I could build a church large enough that I didn't have to go to full-time work, it'd be better for the church. So we really worked at it. And we looked for ways that we could, you know, win people to Christ. And so my wife came to me and said, hey, we're expecting, we're going to have a baby. So we signed up for some prenatal classes. And I think they still do that. But back then, you know, we had no idea what we were doing as far as bringing a child into the world. We really had no business bringing a child into the world, but we were going to. So we took some classes and we prayed that the Lord would allow us to meet somebody in that class that we could share Christ with. And God did that. And we found a couple. My wife's from Cleveland, Ohio. She's from the U.S., and I'm obviously from Canada. And we met a couple. She's from the Boston, Massachusetts area. She packs the car in the Harvard Yard. And he was from Canada, so it was kind of a really neat mix. And we were able to lead them to Jesus Christ. And they're here with us tonight. The Pipes are here. Would you please stand and let these folks see you tonight? Here they are. All right, Pat and Dave Pipes. They're still saved, still married, and still have children, so it's really, really good. So they're dear friends of ours, and we appreciate that. They came down with us, so glad for that. Now, I do have some bad news. The cost of the retreat has been changed a little bit. Some of you have already paid. We're going to have to get a little more. There's a 50% tariff now on this retreat. I'm sorry. It's in retaliation, but no tariffs here. No tariffs here. In fact, free health care for everybody here tonight. All right, thank you. So our gift to you from Canada. So we have a couple here tonight that really probably should be teaching this. They have a lot more experience than I do. And there may be others that have more experience, but the wagon sellers are here tonight. Where are they sitting? Wagon sellers. Brother Wagon Seller, Mr. Wagon Seller, how many years have you been married? 57 years. 57 years. Anybody more than 57? Anybody more than 57? I think they're right there. All right, good. 57 years. He said we're coming to the conference. I said why? 57 years. It's a good night. What don't you know? So he said he's hoping the last number of years will be way better than the ones they've had. So that's why they're here. Hoping. He said I've blown it all these years. I'm hoping to get it straightened out. So Mrs. Wagonseller's got it, but he, like most guys, needs some help. Let's do this. We've got a lot of folks here tonight. You might not know some of them. Would you do this? Would you turn around? You may have to stand or turn yourself around. Look at the couples behind you. Would you do this and do this for me? We're going to introduce ourselves, all right? Not going to work. That won't work. All right. All right. Do this, do this. Look at somebody by you. Look at somebody by you. Say this for me, would you? Say this. I'm glad. Come on, everybody say it. I'm glad our marriage isn't as bad as yours. Good. Woo! Let's get that out of the way right now, okay? I'm so glad you're here. This is one of the first times that my wife and I have done, and we've done a number of them, that we had a major fight before we got here. So I'm really glad. I'm really hoping this one goes well. So we've had that happen a couple times. We've gotten ready to do a conference and something comes up and we'll have a disagreement. In Canada, we call it a large fight, but here, a large dream. And she'll say, I can't believe we're doing this. How can we tell people how to get married? We're fighting. I said, well, we've got a lot of experience, a lot of experience. So we have a couple, some friends of ours, they said, we've never had an argument. I said, well, something's not right. Something is not right. You're not living in the same house or something. I don't know, but that's good. Well, I'm glad you're here. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Let's turn to Genesis. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Genesis. I want to look at the first couple. Did they have some problems? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. and we can learn from them. No, I'm no carpenter, that's for sure. I do love woodworking, and I've done a little bit, but I'm no carpenter. I have done a little bit as a kid. I did cement work for a couple years, and I did some construction of barns for a couple of years, but I'm not really considering myself a carpenter. But I've done enough building in my life to know that a good, solid foundation is the key to the longevity of any structure. You've got to have a good foundation. You've got to get either on rock, you've got to have good cement support, you've got to have rebar, all right, the metal bar that goes into the cement to give it strength. You've got to have a good foundation or the rest of that building is not going to last. It will topple. An old craftsman told me, if you don't start strong and straight, you won't finish strong and straight. He told me, in building our church building, he must have told me 25 times, plumb and level, plumb and level. Everything's got to be plumb and level. And so he grained that into me and taught me a lot of great lessons. He was a 70-year-old man who really saved my neck. We started building a building. I had a friend who was in construction who helped us get started. He was a Christian school teacher, and the building took longer than we ever anticipated it would take. And so he said in September, I can't finish this job. I've got to go back and teach Christian school. And I said, we've got several months of building to do, and I don't know how to do it. And he said, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I got to go. And this older gentleman was on the site. He was going to do the bricklaying for us. At 70 years of age, he did 125,000 bricks. And he said, I'll finish that building for you. And I said, what do you know about building a building? I said, you're a bricklayer. He goes, I build all kinds of buildings. I can do it for you. I had nothing to lose. So I said, you can do it. That guy was amazing. That guy finished that church building for us and did an amazing job. He charged me $15 an hour. Now, this is 30 years ago. He charged me $15 an hour. He said, I'll work for free after 6 o'clock. Give me my meals. Give me a place to stay. And I'll charge you $15. So we did that. At the end of the project, he wrote a check and gave me all the money back. So what a blessing. And he taught me so many good lessons. So he told me that. He also told me this. He said, everybody makes mistakes. It's the wise man who realizes it and can fix it. Some of you are here tonight, and you've got a good, strong marriage. And I'm glad for that. I hope it continues on and you never have a problem. But most of us have gone through some difficulties in our married lives that we've had to either try and fix or are working on right now. Most of us are still in that construction phase. We may have the foundation laid. We've been married and we've started, we're established, and now we're building upon that. And maybe we're realizing that the foundation wasn't just what it should have been. We didn't start right. Maybe you weren't saved. Maybe you didn't have a good Christian influence. Maybe you had parents that didn't really give you an example. Or maybe just through some of the silly decisions of life, we've made some decisions that have caused us to have some problems. So we're going to look at that. Most of you have already laid the foundation of your marriage and family. And we're going to try to build upon that this weekend. Let's take a look at God's foundation for the family. God's foundation, strong foundation. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Very simple. Most of us know that verse. We've seen that verse. We've talked about that verse. So very important. That's the foundation of marriage. That's why we are together. God created us that way. He created man and woman for that purpose. And I will say this, and this is kind of off topic a little bit, but I want to say that a perfect God created two perfect people, put them in a perfect environment, and they had problems. They had children that went astray. One so drastically that he killed his brother. They had to leave that perfect environment and had to, by the sweat of their brow, then live the rest of their lives, and women in childbearing suffer great, great agony. So if tonight you're thinking, man, we can't make it. We're having a hard time. What are we going to do? We're never going to make it. Know this, that two people in a perfect environment under the eye shadow of God had trouble. We're different, men and women. I think we can clearly say tonight that we understand that men and women are different. If you didn't understand that before, you understand after you get married. My wife and I are different. We don't really think about that when we fall in love and you're young and you're excited about getting married, we may know that there's some differences until you live with that person and really get to know that person and then have to, they're two different people, raise two different lifestyles with two different ideals, come together and have to mesh together into one. That's really something if you think about it, that we're able to do that. And you think about it, most of us date for a few years and come together for the rest of our lives. We think that we know someone well enough in those couple years that we can spend the rest of our lives together. And there are some of us that have a false picture. We have a false idea. We've somehow conjured up this magical, mystical marriage, and we find out that's not what it is, and we have troubles. I want to tell you tonight that one of the things, the great things about being here tonight, is that we know as Christians, as born-again believers, that we're not alone in this. We have a help. We have a Holy Ghost that lives within us. We have a Heavenly Father that watches over and helps us. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ who binds us together in our salvation. So there's help for us tonight. You have help in that you have a pastoral leadership that's watching for your souls. I don't think people understand that tonight. Watching for your souls. We've got a number of pastors here tonight. Watching for your soul. Not just your family. Not just over your life, but your soul. That's a lot. That's heavy when you think about it. And one of the things that we're watching for as pastors is that your family is strong, that your marriage is strong. Because if it's not, you're going to have problems. And if you have problems, your family's going to have problems. And if your family has problems, that brings a problem to the church. And so we're watching for that. We want to help that. We want to guide you and assist you in that. And pastors oftentimes will see couples that are maybe having a hard time and they'll want to invite them over, spend some time with them, or have another couple maybe spend some time. So you have some help here tonight. And maybe tonight you're at that point where you're thinking, you know what? We're just about done. This is it. If we don't get it here, we're done. Please don't think that. Please don't think that. You've got help. You've got somebody here who's willing to help you even tonight. The family begins with one alone, Adam. God creates Adam with a plan that he is going to nurture that garden. He is going to name the animals. He's alone. God looks down and he says, it's not good that man's alone. Now, I'll reiterate this a little bit, but I want you to know there's not a man in this room tonight that's an island. Not a man. There are some men that don't mind being alone for a little bit. There are some men that are maybe a little more quiet. But there's not a man that I've ever met that wants to be completely alone. It's just not natural. It's not good for us. We need that help meet that God provided. God said, man's not good alone. I have the animal kingdom. They're all paired up, and man doesn't have a pairing. And so he creates a help for him. He creates Eve, one alone, needing one to help with life. God gave us our wives, gentlemen, to help us with life. Now, here's a problem, and ladies, if you haven't figured this out yet, most men never want to admit that we never need any help. We are raised that we don't need help. My dad, tough guy, welder, wasn't a preacher, welder, grew up on the farm. He was one of 10 children, tough guy. My dad was hard. He'd say, I'd fall off my bike and cry, get up, quit crying, be a man. I'm 3 years old. Doesn't matter, be a man, right? My dad's solution was figure it out. You're a problem solver. That's what we do. Men are problem solvers. And one of the conflicts we have sometimes is that, ladies, you don't understand that anytime you have a problem, we have got to fix it. We have got to fix it. It eats us until we fix it. And you have a problem in that you don't want us to fix it. You just want us to listen. What? What? Listen? No, we got to fix it. My wife says, we got to the point where I now ask sometimes. I'll say, do you want me to fix it or you just want me to listen? And we just had it a few weeks ago. She started it on something. I was like, she goes, just listen. I said, but I got to fix it. She goes, I can fix it. I just need to bounce it off of you. So we've learned to do that. I listen, and then I go to the wood shop, and I say, here's the solution. I talk to myself and tell her the solution so I can get it off my chest. I have to tell somebody. We're different. And God said, I need somebody that can help this guy live life. God created a woman to do that. Wow. Have that. And ladies, your fortune tonight that God's given you a man in your life that's going to help lead in your life as well. And when it's right, it is a beautiful union. It is a great relationship. It's an awesome partnership. And so we're going to look tonight at the two aspects of that. First of all, we're going to start with men need a meet. Men need a meet. Notice God did not say a helpmate. He didn't say a helpmate. He said a helpmeet. John Barnes, a commentator, says this: man was formed to be social, to hold converse, not only with his superior, God, but also with his equal. He needed a mate with whom he may take sweet counsel, and the benevolent Creator resolves to supply this want. I will make him a helpmeet for him, one who may not only reciprocate his, take an intelligent and appropriate part in his active pursuits. As a man, it is in my heart to lead. As a man, it is in my heart to let my wife know that I am going to lead her. As a man, it is in my heart to show and to prove to her that I have the ability to do what I've just told her I'm going to do. And ladies, you may never understand how important that is to a man, that he feel that way. I think there are a lot of problems in our society today, and it started back in the probably 30s, 40s, 50s with the women's liberation movement and equality for women. And I will say that I think in times past there was some imbalance. How many of you had grandparents that were married a very, very long time? All right. Anybody have grandparents that were divorced? All right. A few of us. All right. How many of you have parents that were divorced? More hands. How many of you have siblings that are divorced? I don't know if you noticed, but in grandparents, very few are divorced. And I would say that there was a longer longevity of marriage back in those times of our grandparents, great-grandparents, even more so, because it was a shame to be divorced. It was a sin to be divorced. And I will say that they lived longer, but I don't know that the women of those relationships had much fulfillment in that relationship. It was a very strong male leadership. The man made the decisions. The man made the money. The man spent the money. The man said how many children they were going to have. The man determined what car they were going to buy. The man determined what home they were going to have. There was very little inner working there. And then there came that beginning of that new generational change. And we see a progression of imbalance and many more divorces coming because of that, because there was a need and a cry for equality. In God's plan, there is a proper equality between a man and a woman already established in what God's created. That gets out of balance because of us, not because of God's plan. And so there needs to be that equality. My wife is equal to me in that she is created by God. She is created for a specific purpose. She is created with some unique abilities that I don't have. And she adds to me those things that are missing and balances me out. If I don't listen to her, if I don't allow her to influence my life, there becomes an imbalance. And often I'm going to make a decision or do those things that are not balanced for our family. And I see that in our society today. Really, in our society today, I think one of the greatest problems we have is selfishness, self-centeredness. It's all about my. I just had a young couple, it was actually a pastor and his wife, that called me several months ago, and I knew they were having troubles, and so I contacted the wife, and I said, how's it going? She said, well, and I'm texting all three, the three of us are texting together, and I said, how's it going? And he said, it's okay. She said, I'm about ready to throw him out of the house. I was like, what? She goes, he is so dumb. And she just goes off, and he's included in the text. He then texts me separately. He says, does she know that I'm in this text? I said, I think so. She knew. She said, I'm ready to throw him out of those. I'm ready to live alone. And I said, I don't think that's wise. I said, please let me help you. Let's work this together. And she said, he takes money out of my bank account. Out of your bank account. Well, I don't know about you, but we've never had her bank account and my bank account. We barely have a bank account. Well, I'm separate. That's my money, she said. And I says, that's your money. Together, you're one. When you got married, you became one. She said, and here's part of the problem. She had a very good job that paid a lot of money, and he was a pastor who was struggling with a smaller church. I make the money. I pay the bills. I'm paying the mortgage. I said, I know where the problem is. There was no equality. It's not always a man usurping his authority and saying, I'm the head of this home, and you're going to do what I say. That's not always the way it is. I see today where there's a lot of imbalance even the other way sometimes, where the wife does have a better education, and she does have more money, and she does, you know, have influence. And so there's some imbalance there. When we get balanced and realize that God created me to be the head of the home, the leader of the home, the authority of the home, and my wife is there to make sure that I keep that on a level plane, man, it goes a lot better. I'm going to be very transparent with you this weekend. I wasn't always that way. I was raised that I'm the man. I'm the head of this home. I am God's man. I'm going to lead this family. You're going to do what I say. You know, that didn't work at all. It took a while, but it came to a head. It got to where things were not good. And I had to recess back, and I had to get alone with God and say, God, what's going on? We're not right here. We're not where we should be. And God had to reveal to me that though I was that man that God had put in the leadership of our home, that is not how you lead properly. It wasn't the military. My home was not the military. My wife was not just a church member. She wasn't a staff member. She was a helpmeet. She was somebody that God gave to me to help meet those areas of my life where I would maybe be failing. And she did, and she was. The word meet implies a counterpart, someone like himself in moral and intellectual nature, someone who can adequately sympathize with him in thoughts and in interests and be a complement to him. Guys, let me ask you tonight, is your wife a complement to you? Is she a complement to you? You're living your life, and she is constantly bringing things to your life that betters your life. Well, think of your life before you met her. Does she have problems? Yes. Does she make mistakes? Yes. Does she sometimes get angry? Yes. Does she sometimes do wrong things? Yes. But is she a complement to your life? Does she make you look better than you really are? Most of us tonight would have to be honest and say, yeah, she does. Most of us tonight, most of the guys here tonight that are dressed well, probably didn't figure that out on their own. Let's just be honest. When we got married, I had no idea about color coordination and fabrics and all that kind of stuff. And now look at me. I'm Mr. GQ. get that stain off there. My wife sewed those little Garanimal tags in all my clothes. And now if you put a giraffe in a giraffe, you look good. It's perfect. It works great for me. It works great. She helped me with that. I'd say, does this look good? No. Why not? Because you have to have this color with this color. And I mean, she helped me with that. There were times when I'd be very gruff. And she'd say, honey, you're too hard. You're too hard on the kids. You're too hard on that church member. You're too hard on that neighbor. Well, they deserve. No, honey, they didn't deserve it. You had a bad day and you came home and you went off on those kids because you couldn't go off on an adult because you'd got punched in the face. She was right. She was right. I hate when my wife is right because she's right a lot. She was right. My wife, talk about a help me. I'd come home and I'd have it out with the church member come in and yell at me. They're going to leave the church, you know, blah, blah, blah. I never wanted my wife to know what was going on in the church. I don't know if you're that way, you're that way. But I always wanted to protect my family from that. I'd walk in, I'd say, honey, I'm home. She'd go, you had a bad day, didn't you? I said, why'd you say that? She goes, who'd you meet with? I said, what are you talking about? You met with so-and-so. I don't know how she knew. I said, did my secretary call you? No, I just know. I just know you. She knows me. Help me. And some of you have a wife like that that knows. Sometimes you come home and she kind of just backs off a little bit. Sometimes she says, honey, sit down. I'm gonna get something that you need. Or she'll say, kids, run upstairs and clean up, and Dad and I are just going to talk for a little bit. If you have a wife like that, God bless you. God bless you. You've got a great thing. That helped me. The only men who can live alone are men who never had the privilege of living with a helpmeet or one who lived with a hurtful mate. Men are not designed to be alone for two reasons. Number one, they long for and need companionship. We need companionship. Guys, would you say that with me? I need companionship. Say it with me. I need companionship. Now, companionship, ladies, you might think is someone that communicates with them and talks with them and helps them and all those things. No, 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 no. Listen, companionship just means somebody to be with me, right? Billy and I could go on a very long trip. We could drive back to Canada 5.5 hours. We could ride in the truck together 5.5 hours. All we would have to say is, you want to eat? Yeah. What do you want? Burgers. That's all we have to say for 5 hours, and we're best friends. Hey, man, great trip. Let's do it again. Yeah. You try that with Jennifer. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to be good. What's wrong? Why aren't you talking to me? I just need companionship. I don't necessarily promote this, but there's a show called Alone. And it's guys and women that go out into the wilderness, usually in the northern aspects of Canada, and they live out there as long as they can with very little supply. They have an axe and some rope and a tarp, and they have to kill their own food, and they have to, you know, scavenge for food, different things. They have to build a shelter, and they make it as long as they can. And you would think, man, that'd be tough. And so I saw a guy go 100 days by himself in the woods, and he made it. And most people go about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they tap out. They make the call. Please come and get me. What's wrong? Are you injured? No. I miss my family. I miss my wife and kids. These bigger, burly men. I miss my wife. We're not made to be alone. We are not made to be alone. We need companionship. Does your husband ever do this? Honey, come in the living room and watch this with me. Come watch this with me. Most husbands do that, don't they? Watch this hockey game with me. Watch this football game. Watch this basketball game. Watch this fishing show with me. And you come in and you say, why is he doing that? What are they doing that for? He goes, shh, shh, shh. Right? Am I right? How many of you wives experienced that? You've experienced that, wives, okay? Don't be ashamed. There's many of you, all right? We're going to be very transparent. You got a husband that does that. Shh. Wait till the commercial. But I want to know, shh. As I take the lure and cast it into the water, boom. Why do you use that lure? Shh. I thought you wanted me to watch this with you. I do. Just be quiet. Right? You know what he wants? Companionship. He doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want to discuss. He just wants somebody there because he doesn't want to be alone. That's companionship. It's not that he's mad at you. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't want to interact with you. There are just times as a man when we just don't want to be alone. And then here's number two. They are driven to find and have intimacy with a woman. We're all adults, and this is an area that is of great concern today. And I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years. And I think as preachers, sometimes we kind of avoided this because it's uneasy sometimes. But let's be honest. Men are driven. And ladies, you don't get this. I'm going to be honest. My wife and I have had great discussions about this. In fact, last time we did the retreat here, we did a session called He Said, She Said, and we're going to do it again, but it'll be a different topic. But we went around to about 20 different couples and said, Jennifer, what is it about, thanks for sitting up front, by the way, what is it, Christina, what is it about you that your husband just does not get? He just doesn't get it. You've tried to explain. You've tried to tell him. He just doesn't get it. He's dense. He doesn't get it. And so she listed something. My wife had about 21 things. No kidding. 21 things. Don't hurt my feelings. You need to compliment me. I need you to be your princess. But, you know, all these things. I went around to 20 guys and said, hey, what is it that your wife doesn't get about you? I had 3 things. And 2 of them were the same. And you know what they are. Right? We're different. Ladies are emotional and they have all those emotional things and they have, and guys, I'm going to look at some great things with you in our separate time together as men. And ladies, we'll never tell you what they are ever. You can't get it out. Well, you can, but I'm going to give these guys some transitions that ladies go through and how to help through those very traumatic transitions that ladies have to go through. So you have that. So here's 2 things. They long and need for companionship, and they are driven to find and have intimacy with a woman. It burns in us. We can't stop thinking about it. I think about a relationship with my wife and eating. That's my life right there. That's not true, but that's a big part. And there's not a guy in this room that's not built that way. God designed us that way. We can't help that. And you think, well, it's overpowering sometimes, and it's hard to receive sometimes, and it doesn't seem balanced sometimes. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And when we learn to balance that, when we learn to communicate that, things are much better. So that's that guy. A man without either of those is bound to have a structure fracture in his life, weakening the family foundation. If a man does not feel that companionship or doesn't feel that relationship, that intimate relationship, things get tense. Things get hard. Things get broken. God set man on a course to commune with him, to work, and to procreate if possible. To assist and aid him in that, God created someone similar yet in contrast to him, to be led by him, to complement him, filling in the missing pieces of his life. You think about this. This is really, I think, a very tender thing. God gave me my wife to fulfill those two needs in my life. Of all the women of the world, God gave me her. And I felt compelling to have her in my life. I was drawn to her. And those things weren't maybe in the forefront of my mind, but in having that relationship, I realized how valuable she has become in my life because she gives me those things in my life and helps me. God designed man and all men to communicate with the Creator, be motivated, inspired, and challenged by his work. And I'll show you this. When two guys meet, I meet Larry for the first time. I say, hey, Larry, how are you doing? Good to meet you. My name's Al. And he says, I'm Larry. What's the next thing I'm probably going to say to Larry? What do you do for a living? Right? You ever wonder why men do that? Because that's so important in our lives. I'm going to ask Larry what he does for a couple reasons. But number one, I'm going to ask Larry, what did you do for a living? Okay, perfect. Me neither. You're a pastor. All right. Good. All right. I'm going to ask him because immediately I size him up as to whether he's a better man than me. If he says, I'm a doctor, I'm thinking, uh-oh, I got to somehow top that or I'm going to be just a little below where he's at. And that's a stress in my manhood. I want to be better than every man in this world except for one, my son. Every dad wants his son to be a better man than him, right? You want him to excel beyond you. And so I meet another man. I meet Brother Josh. Josh, nice to meet you. What do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, really? How big's your church? I've been there. It's a great church. Great church. Some of you are here from there. We had a great meeting over there. Mine's a little bigger. But hey, no, hey, he's still young. He's got time. All right. Now, we do. Don't you go to preacher's meetings and say, how would you have Sunday? Right? Don't you hate that? Oh, it's terrible. Preachers do that. How many did you have Sunday? I'd say, 1,000. 1,000? Yeah. Didn't you? I'd have 1,000. I was making it up. I was just playing with the guy. I'd have 1,000. I know you're asking because you want to have more. I'm just going to beat you. But that's who men are. God designed men and all men to have an almost unquenchable thirst for sexual relationship. And God designed man and all men to have a woman want intimacy with him, but not as much as him. Ladies, it's different. We know that. We get that as guys, but we struggle with that. We need the physical act. You need the intimacy part. And guys, if you never learn that, you need to learn that. That physical relationship that we have is not as important to our wives. They love it. They need it, but it's not as important to us. God didn't design them that way. God designed them to add a different part to our lives. And our world has gotten that thing messed up. There's a part of this world that wants women to act like men when it comes to that physical relationship. Want them to be aggressive, want them to be daring, want them to be bold. And that's not what women are. They're soft and they're tender and they're kind. And we've got this idea that's, you know, we've got to have that great arousal and that great, you know, relationship, and it's got to be fire, and it's got to, no, it can be just soft and tender and quiet. And it can be romantic and still be fulfilling to both. If any of that is missing in a man's life, he is distracted, he's weakened, and possibly damaged. It's the responsibility of a good meat to facilitate, encourage, and inspire and promote those things. And tonight, as we move forward in this and look in a few moments at the ladies, we're going to see that they have another side. If we both know the other side and can better understand the other side and put aside ourselves to meet the need of the other, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. Let me ask you, and I'll close right here. Let me ask you, God's design for man, communicate with the Creator. Guys, are you communicating with our Creator? If you're not, your marriage will not be what it should be. There's not a woman in this room that doesn't want her husband to lead her spiritually. She wants a man that is meeting with God and can say, honey, God spoke to me about this, and I can prove to you from God's word and from what God has revealed to me that this is what we should do in the decisions of our lives. Every woman wants that. Are you communicating with the Creator? Let me ask you this. Are you motivated, inspired, and challenged by your work? Some guys are stuck in a job where they say, I just got to make money. I got to provide for my family, and you're not really satisfied in that work. Are there ways that we can help change that? Are there ways that you can change that in your mind that, hey, this is a gift from God. I've got a job. I've got some money coming in, and I thank God for that. And ladies, could I tell you that if you ever criticize your husband's work, whether in a workplace or in the work that he does in your home, you have mortally wounded him. A man's ego is so important to him. That's why I say, hey, Billy, I'm Al, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God. Hey, Josh, I'm Al, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I'm proud of what I do. I'm excited about what I do. I feel blessed by what I do. And so I want those guys to know that. And I want them to know that there's somebody here to help them if they ever need help. If I need to make a cabinet door, I got a guy. I got a guy. If I need to know how to do carpentry, I've got a guy. If I need hose fittings, I got a guy. I meet those guys and find out what they do because not only am I trying to see if I'm in the same realm, I'm finding guys that can help me in my life. And so I need to be fulfilled in that. And ladies, if you criticize, your husband builds something, you're like, oh, my dad would do a way better job than that. Oh boy. Woo, you're in trouble. You've just crushed that man. Why can't you have a better job? Why don't you make more money? Why don't you, oh boy, that's crushing. And as a pastor, I heard so many wives do that to their husbands. Questioning, if you question his authority, if you question his ability to lead, if you question, and there's nothing wrong with saying, honey, did you consider this or honey, did you think about this? But if you say, why don't you do this or why don't you do this or, man, phew. And let me ask you this. Have you an almost unquenchable thirst for sexual relationship? If a man doesn't have that, there may be something wrong. I mean, as we get older, it does change, but there's still that desire. If your husband said, yeah, I don't desire you anymore, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And so that may be something to address. And then finally, to have a woman that needs intimacy, we need to have that. We need to have that relationship. And if, ladies, you don't feel like your husband's desiring that, then there's something that maybe need to address. Those are things that are important to a man. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to go back and talk about women need a wall in the next session. Father, thank you for what we've seen and heard, and I pray that it's a help already. I hope that we begin looking at things and questioning things that maybe we could discuss later with our spouses and just make sure that things are right and things are good and on course. And Father, if they are, we praise the Lord for that. But if there's something that's out of kilter, maybe tonight that man and that help me can come together and say, let's talk about that. Let's see if we can enhance that. Or correct that so that we can have stronger marriages. Because strong marriages and strong families build great churches. And boy, do we need that today. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
All right, appreciate that. Just a couple quick things. And